You're listening to The Power of the Human Spirit on TalkZone.com. Let's get back to your host, best-selling author and nationally recognized speaker, Paul J. Wedding.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Paul Wedding. I am having a conversation with Pastor A.C. Phipps, a guy that I have a great deal of admiration and love for. Learned a whole lot from him. If you got a question and you'd like to jump in, your number is 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. You want to send me an email, please do, at paul@pauljwedding.com. Or you can visit my website at www.pauljwedding.com. Pastor.
Yes.
I was reading an article in Newsweek magazine some time ago, and it was an interview with Reverend Billy Graham, who very easily can be looked at as somebody the single source of bringing a lot of the lost back to God.
Yeah.
And Reverend Graham says that he was not a literalist. Do you believe there's room for debate, you know, among the Word, among responsible, mature Christians, or is that just something that we just don't do?
Absolutely. I believe in debate and discussion. You know, I am not familiar with that particular article of that interview. I do have to say, from my standpoint, because I have read certain things about him regarding that interview, and also not knowing Dr. Graham, but just having followed his life and his teaching, my opinion on that is that they stretched it just a bit.
Because, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, I think he is. I consider him. I personally consider him a Bible literalist. That, you know, he takes the Bible literally and certainly believes that it is, you know, that it all is the inspired Word of God. But, you know, I am always open for debate and discussion on those topics.
Now, I have a couple of questions that there's really no way to really lead into them.
Okay.
So
you're
now,
just going to ask them.
I'm sorry?
So you're just going to ask them, right?
I'm just going to ask them because, you know, I'm not a scholar, and I've always turned to you for answers.
Okay.
I'm sure that we have listeners that, you know, are not scholars as well and maybe leaning on you as well. But, in Proverbs 6:16 through 19, does God have the capacity to hate?
You know, the answer to that question is, just straight up, he does have the capacity to hate. The reason I know that, he's got to hate algebra, man. I mean, you know, at least I do anyway. The reason for that is it kind of blows people's minds when you say that, but God is God when you stop and think about it. Now, you know, in that proverb, it talks about, you know, what he hates. He hates lying. He hates deceitfulness, these things that he hates. And that word, actually, the Hebrew word there it's a Hebrew word. It's pronounced sone. And it actually means to distance oneself from. In other words, God distances himself from lying. He distances himself from deceitfulness. But when it says he hates those things in Proverbs, that's what he hates. You know, he hates evil. So, he does have the capacity, but the great thing about God, the Word tells us that even though he has that capacity, one of my favorite scriptures is John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son." And then it goes on to say that he didn't condemn the world. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that through his Son the world might be saved. To me, that is the most... when I wake up in the morning and I think about God's love toward us, that he actually chose to love us by sending his own son, it's just... it's something I still mentally cannot understand totally, but I sure do accept it. It's an awesome thing.
You know, in the things that are listed in that scripture that God hates,
yes,
most people that are walking the face of the earth today, are things that we despise as well. I mean, nobody wants to be deceived. Nobody cares to be lied to. Nobody cares for the proud look. So it, you know, it certainly goes to reason. Not being the biblical scholar, one of the reasons I lean on you again, but in the book of Exodus 21, 23 through 25, okay, it is written, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Yet Jesus taught us to do the exact opposite, offer the other cheek. So, for someone who is in the infancy stage of learning Scripture as much as I am, how would you suggest to get the most out of what you're reading?
I think one of the most important things, that's an excellent question, Paul. I think that one of the most important things is context. When you read the Bible, you've got to read things in context. You know, you read that and you go, whoa, you know, in the Old Testament, but then you read in the New Testament the things when Jesus came, that yes, he was here to fulfill the law, but he also was here to bring a new covenant. And so the most important thing is to read everything in context. An example I like to use, and I know it is an example that's used over and over again, you can read in God's Word where it says, Judas went out and hung himself, you know, one of his disciples. And then you can read later on where it says, go and do thou likewise. You know, you can't take,
right.
You have to be careful to take things out of context. So I think, you know, being new to the Scripture, being new to the Word, the most important thing is to read an entire passage and also look at who Jesus was talking to, where he was in his ministry, or if it's Moses, who he was talking to, how old was he at the time, where was he, what was causing him to say some of the things that he said. And the key word there is context. That's what I would advise people to do.
Okay. I remember when I was younger, when people would read to me, or I would read the words of John the Baptist. That guy freaked me out.
He was an unusual character, wasn't he?
Oh, I was scared to death to cross the street on a flashing light. I guess, you know, my question, do you believe that Jesus Christ was a disappointment to John the Baptist based on, you know, his teachings and who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus stood for?
Well, you know, one of the things I know, Paul, way back, one of the things I remember you asking me even specifically about something that John even said to tell his disciples. It's found in the seventh chapter of Luke. He turned to his disciples and he basically said, hey, look, go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And once again, I think this is a perfect example of the context things, because when you read about John the Baptist, very unusual character, like you were saying, you know, he ate milk and honey, you know, he did not wear the clerical robe, you know, he probably would have been kicked out of most of our churches today, but yet, you know, the Word says, God's Word says, that he prepared the way for Jesus Christ to come. In fact, Jesus said later on that, you know, there are very, very, basically, to sum up the scripture, he said, there are very, very few people in all the scripture more important than John the Baptist. So it's once again the context, and what John the Baptist was trying to encourage people to do was to, hey, you know, he heard people talking about himself and everything, and he would constantly point them to Jesus. He would say, you know what, go and ask Jesus himself. I tell you what, go the next time you see him down on the corner, go over there and ask him. And basically what he was saying, because in his own writings, he said, you know what, I must decrease, and he, meaning Jesus, must increase. I've just come to prepare the way. And, of course, we read later on in the scripture where John the Baptist, he was beheaded, and Jesus just wept when that happened. So, no, he wasn't disappointed in John the Baptist.
Okay. So when we were talking earlier about, you know, it, as far as being a literalist or a non-literalist, and that the word should be taken, so when we talk about having, you know, the mature type debate or discussion, so what we're really doing is we're looking at interpretation and the context of what we're reading. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly right. That is so important, because we can just take things out, and then what we start doing, we start implementing our opinion, and we do all have our opinion, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but we need to allow God's Word to do what it can and will do, and just say, you know, God, you know, show me what you're wanting me to get out of this text. But then also on our, excuse the word, responsibility side of it, is to use our brain and to read everything in context, you know. And, you know, it's kind of like the husband and wife that had been married for so long, and the husband walked in and saw his saw a little note there on the kitchen table, and it was from his wife, and he picked it up and he read it, and it said, "Dear Bill, I hate you. Love, Martha." You know, so we have to be very careful.
Yeah, you know, we do tend to take things out of context. It's something that happens far, far too often, but certainly does happen.
Yeah.
When an athlete to a labor organization work out a contract, they seem to always agree to it in principle, but it's the details that seem to cause the animosity between the parties. I see religion some of the same. We all agree in principle that God is God, but some of the details cause animosity among us. You know, we'll hear that God will love you more if you attend the right church, if you say the right prayers, if you receive baptism at a certain age. Do you see this, or am I just off point here?
You know, Paul, I see this all the time, unfortunately. And, you know, I put myself in that category because that's my job, one of my jobs. You know, we in the church sometimes have the attitude in our minds, because of our particular way of upbringing and way of thinking, that we are the ones that are right about this or right about that, and there are standards, and we have God's Word, but I get back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always looks at the heart. Sometimes we just look right past the heart. We see what people are dressed like. We say, okay, you have to say this kind of a vow. You have to bow here. You have to do this. You have to do that. And you know what? There's nothing sinful or wrong about that, except when that gets in the way of what is truly going on in a person's heart. And you know what? Really, when it comes down to it, only God sees in the heart of man. And that has been one of the things that I have been so thankful for and grateful for every day of my life, is that God looks past my imperfections, and he looks past what is going on the outside, and he looks at the heart, and he forgives me. His grace is new. The scripture said his grace is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. But unfortunately, we are guilty of what you just said. Absolutely.
Okay, we are about 2 minutes to break, and one of the things I wanted to find out is, what's going on with your son Ryan? How's his ministry? How's his music? And how's his life? What's going on with Ryan?
Well, our son Ryan, we just love him and his wife, Andrea. We have the greatest daughter-in-law. We're just so proud of them. He is a pastor also. He started a church in downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and his church is just doing terrific. They're about 2.5 years old, just growing, and he ministers in a very, very unique settings. I just can't say enough about him. I'm stuttering here because I'm getting choked up. So yeah, he's doing great. We're just so proud of him. He's our only child. He's 32 years old, and just so thankful for what God has done in his life. And he's just sharing the love of God. Ryan is a great musician, guitar player, singer. Has cut several albums, CDs, and plays in a real outstanding band in Pittsburgh called Soul Harmonic.
Well. Now I understand why you were running around the church Super Bowl Sunday with a Pittsburgh growl towel in your hand.
That's right. I was a Steelers fan.
So that's where that affiliation came that's from right. with the Steelers.
Now, if they play the Cowboys, that's going to be a different story.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. Anyway, when we come back from the break, we are going to switch chairs because Pastor has a few questions for me. You're in the zone, talkzone.com. We'll be right back.